You are listening to App Slappy Podcast with Scott and Eric.
Attention.
Scott and Eric.
No.
Derp. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to App Slappy. This is App Slappy, the podcast for App Store addicts for all the great coverage, reviews, and news for your iPod, iPad, or iPod Touch. What did I forget? iPhone. I'm Scott.
Oh, and I'm Eric.
Yeah,
sorry.
Good job. Hell of an intro. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I know. We're actually recording live tonight to a chat room, which is just a little bit scary. So enjoy that for whatever that may be worth to you. But we're going to try it out. See how it goes. See if people enjoy listening to App Slappy Live versus getting the show later, which is often the same people. They'll listen now and listen later. Good to have them here.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome one and all. All like 40 of you. Hey, but it's episode 40, so that's just about perfect. Thrilled to be here. Let's get started. We got a great big show. Well, let's talk about the big news this week. As you know, the iPad is coming out this weekend, specifically the 3rd of this fine month of, or it will be April, I guess. Still, technically, it's still March. I'll be picking mine up at the Apple Store in Salt Lake City, beautiful downtown Salt Lake City, at the Gateway Supercenter.
Wait. You will be picking it up?
Oh, let's clarify once again. My wife will be picking it up for me. Although there is a chance I'm going now with her. So I'm not all slacker. I'll probably go with her and
all right,
hang out. I'm a little concerned about how much line there's going to be and how crazy it might be, but I guess time will tell.
And you can't deal with that. You have more important things to deal with.
I cannot deal with waiting in line for a freaking iPad. But I'm excited nonetheless. So this is the weird thing, though, that's come up in the the interim time since the announcement of the date and everything else, all these developers working on iPad games, I kind of always had it in my head, Eric, that these games were going to be universal. In other words, I was going to be able to get a Facebook app, and it would be one app, and it would work on either device. And we've talked about, even on this show, we said, okay, well, maybe they'll optimize it.
Yeah, we actually remembered that our iPad special, we talked about if it had to be like the universal binary ones.
Right. Like if it was going to just work on both, then it might be a little bigger, or, you know, we had all these speculations happening here on the show and all over the web. And here's how it's starting to shape up. It looks like most developers are using the modifier HD on the end of all their apps that they're creating for the thing. So if you're making, you know, if you're somebody doing Bejeweled, if you're PopCap, your game is now Bejeweled 2 HD. So all games potentially will have this HD in front of it. And the ideas that they're talking about is that is how you'll determine the difference between an iPad game or an iPad application and a regular iPod game. And never the twain shall meet. These are not the same applications. It's not the same code. It's not the same package of software.
But iPhone apps can run on the iPad.
Well, that's true. They'll scale up. But here's the problem, Eric. You get Facebook for the iPhone, and it scales up just fine to the iPad. But they're going to come out with a Facebook HD app for the iPad. And you might say, well, okay, fine. I got to download two things. Not only that, you have to pay twice. So you have to buy that extra
app. But Facebook is free.
Well, okay. Facebook's a bad example. in theory, it's free. I don't know, man. It seems like there is a bit of a money grab happening. Because here's the other thing. A lot of this stuff is starting to show up as $10 apps. Like, they are not cheap. And the idea of slapping HD on this thing, which isn't truly high definition. I guess it's better definition, but whatever. Putting that on there is giving people a license to jack their price up from like a 99-cent app to $10, as if somehow that extra screen space is enough. Now, some applications are going to go crazy and add all kinds of functionality that they wouldn't have otherwise, and I totally get that and how that might be worth more. I can even see it from their side of things. I even know why they're doing this, but I'm a little disappointed that there's not some sort of crossover. Like, You know, when we've been playing the hell out of We Rule this week, since our last show, that and Depict, those games were awesome. I'll talk more about those later and what they've done to my week. But anyway, that stuff's great. But they have, now they have me really genuinely concerned about the idea of having to pay, or, you know, pay for these apps again. Now, I know, again, these are two free apps. But there are other paid apps that I use that I just know I'm going to get totally jerked around on because I'm going to want the better resolution. I'm going to want the additional functionality. And they're going to want me to pay a premium. Now, that it's not like they just want another 99 cents for a 99 cents app now. They're going to want more for it. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's fair? Am I overreacting? In a way, I think it is fair. But as a consumer, I don't want to pay it.
This is, I think, what the ideal thing would be, is to charge less for people who already own the app. Because I don't want to pay the same as some dude who hasn't bought the previous version for the iPhone, and then he comes along and pays the same amount that I'm paying for, even though I've given this company my money before. So, hey, give me a little discount because I'm, you know, upgrading to the HD version.
Yeah, and you'd prefer it. Let's say you prefer a version that's
larger. I'm willing to pay a little extra money for the, you know, but give me a discount because I've supported your company, you know, in the past. You know?
I could not agree more. I think that's exactly how this should be, but it doesn't sound like that's what's going to happen, or at least at this stage, we don't really know. There's this article that we'll link in the show notes that talks all about this, and they ask the question, are HD apps differentiated from regular apps? If developers want to do this right, they need to take a step back for a second and figure out if they want to port their iPhone app to the iPad in the first place or seize the opportunity, add something new to the iPad version, and so on. So just like we're talking about, you know, are you just going to re-release a new version of Facebook? Probably not. They're going to do some stuff to it.
It's going to be redesigned for the iPad.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to find out.
I know there's going to be like some small companies out there who are going to like just do nothing and still chip on it. It's going to be like, they're going to be scammers out there trying to milk.
Yeah, which is too bad. So I hope they have a plan for this. I mean, I don't know. I as a consumer, this feels a little bit like they're taking that chance back that they lost to have higher prices from the get-go. Because the initial launch of the phone and the App Store really set this early precedence of 99 cents is a happy place to be, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I have paid $10 for applications before.
Well, of course you have. Yeah, I mean, you bought Street Fighter recently, for example. But you would, but you could argue on that thing that portable version of Street Fighter is infinitely better than any other portable version of Street Fighter 4, if it even exists, and it actually doesn't. But if it did, you were going to pay $39 for that on a PSP or on a DS, and probably get a lesser experience. So you are already used to, on this App Store, paying substantially less money than probably you should be paying. But because that norm was established early, they're now going to try to change that again and say, okay, well, we didn't, you know, we established this 99 cent rule and low price rule on the iPhone. Here's our chance to have a premium now because it's this big new format. And the big hope for me is that a lot of these guys that are doing free apps now aren't going to get greedy and suddenly charge for them just because they're on the iPad. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I want the developers to be successful. There's no question about that. But in my head, I kind of always had it in my head that part of the great juggernaut value of the App Store is that this stuff is so inexpensive for end users that we will just keep paying those dollars. And I'm not going to be as quick to pay the tens.
Let me interrupt you for one second.
Please do. Throw your weight in there. But
if you recall when the app store first came out, applications were in the $4.99 range. Remember that?
Oh yeah, no, I remember that.
So maybe this is going to take some time for this, you know, this $10 stuff to go down a little bit. After the beginning, I think maybe the app developers will see what the right price range is for iPad apps. Just like they did with the iPhone. And they can see you can be successful with a 99 cent application. So,
do you feel like that's where's the sweet spot? Is it 99 cents?
No, for an iPad, I would say the sweet spot would probably be like $4.99.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough.
Because you're getting like a large, you know, more robust application out of it. Yeah. I'd say between 3 and 5.
All right. Ugh. I'm just a little nervous. That's all I'm saying.
I know. We'll have to see what, you know, the thing is pretty much the consumers are going to vote with their dollars pretty much. If they say, if they see an application like Facebook and it like reses up fine on the iPad, they're like, oh, maybe I don't need the HD version. And then maybe the developers will see that and say, oh, maybe we need to, you know, drop our prices a little bit.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Also in the news, the iPhone HD is being rumored. They're calling it the iPhone HD, or at least that's the rumor. I hate that name. I think HD is a mistake. I don't like it. I don't know. Doesn't it bother you just a little bit that they're throwing that around?
It's not, the thing is, something that small of a screen can't really be HD in my mind.
Well, it isn't. There's no way it's HD. And
so I'm just saying, like, you know, even though the resolution is going to be higher on the new iPhones.
Yeah, well, that's what they're claiming. And again, this is pure rumor, folks. We don't have anything to sort of substantiate any of this. But here's what they're saying. It will be based on the A4 family of CPUs. That is what is this. It's the same CPU family that is part of the iPad.
What's interesting about this, if this new iPhone comes out and it's running on the same processor, does that mean it can run iPad applications?
Ooh, well, good question. The resolution will be doubled at 960 by 640. I forget what the iPad resolution is, actually. You remember what that is?
I can't remember.
Resolution. We're going to find that out real quick. Live to hard drive right here on the show.
1024 by 768.
1024 by 768 is correct. It's so funny they call that HD. But anyway, in that case, that would put that awfully close to this resolution. That's much more scalable. So possibly, sure. But that's one thing that's being rumored. It's also rumored that it will sport a second front-facing camera, kind of like we talked about months and months ago, that would allow you to do sort of, you know, iChat-style video conferencing sort of thing with the phone. And it would support third-party multitasking, in other words, background processing and such. And the rumor is that two versions of this phone will ship. One version will support the Verizon network, the CDMA network, and the other would support their current setup with AT&T.
AT&T, yeah.
Which would still be 3G, I guess. All right. Let's talk about the least possible thing that's happening here. Just for fun. Like, which of these rumors seems the least the most unlikely? And my pick for that is front-facing camera. I don't think they're doing that.
I don't know.
Where's your weird back of the thing finger gesture thing you were so sure they were going to do?
Hey, this is just rumors. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. We don't. But I'm just saying, I'm just making a little fun of you for thinking of that, and it's not there. So what on here?
I see Wi-Fi syncing on there. Do you see that on there?
No, good point. There's time. We got time. Steve could throw that in last second. By the way, people are already getting their iPads this week. Like, they're showing up early. Makes me mad. Should have.
Why don't you have yours?
Because I thought it'd be faster.
Scott Johnson.
I thought it'd be faster if I went in and picked it up than shipping it. I don't know why I thought that. Now I kind of regret it. I was sure of it at the time. The CPU seems likely to me. The resolution increase seems maybe a little iffy. And the front-facing camera. In other words, I don't know what it is about the current resolution that's... They're not going to double the screen size. They're just talking about doubling the resolution. That means
a higher res screen.
Yeah, but that means all of your applications now are going to have to res up the same way they do on the iPad. See what I'm saying?
Maybe this is kind of like their way to phase out the old applications and just have one format for all.
Terrible idea. Some people have suggested
Apple. You got to figure Apple does that. They don't care. They're like the 3.5-inch discs. We're not going to put them on their computers. And everybody's like,
they were end of life though, those things. So they were right to do that. I think there's some cases where you can make a safe assumption that certain technologies are ready to get out of the door and be done with it. But they're also first with a lot of new tech that stays around forever. They were the first computer you could buy with USB. There was nothing like that until the iMacs had USB. FireWire is another great example. This stuff just didn't exist in other computer systems. And so they do a lot of stuff early, and they get rid of things that are old. And I have no problem with that. I think it's too early to say these old apps are too old. And besides, this thing is such a cash cow for them. They have to be really careful. They can't mess with it too much. I heard a rumor today, not a rumor, but an argument from a friend that he believes Apple is releasing the iPad simply to hand, kind of give a favor back to the developers to say, here, make some extra money since you're now, you know, you're living in this ecosystem where 99 cents is the norm. You know, here's a way for you to make a ton more money. Make 10 times that on your app, on the same app, basically. And that's the sole reason that this iPad exists, that the juggernaut money-making machine that is the App Store is more important to Apple than anything, and they'll build devices around it in order to shape it into whatever makes it work and be the best economy or ecosystem it can be. What do you think about that?
I don't know.
I blew your mind. Or you're reading
you
the chat room.
You blew my mind.
You might be reading the chat room. That's what I'm thinking.
No, you don't read the chat room.
You bastards. Anyway, a little bit of news for you there. Chew on that. Love to hear some of your feedback out there, what you think. And as you get your iPads this week, anxious to talk next week about what you think.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait for me, though.
Yeah, but we can talk about me.
We always talk about you.
It's all about me. Oh, speaking about what's new, listen to you.
Brand spanking new.
That was a good transition. Nice work on that. Impressive. Got some new stuff to talk about this week.
Tom would be proud.
He really would be. He's the master. I can't do it like he does. Touch Racing Nitro, $3.99, out now on the App Store. A single finger racing game is what it says. Haven't played it, so I don't know for sure. Next up, out this week, and this is one I have and will review today, Hottie Hookups. I'm a little embarrassed to say I'll be doing this today.
I saw that, and I'm just like, when I saw that review, it's like, really?
Yeah, Hottie Hookups, 99 cents.
It looks even like more unmanly than Sally Spa.
It kind of is, dude. It's kind of I feel like I should be a 15-year-old girl playing this game. But try as I might, I even dressed up like one. It didn't help. This comes from the Sally Spa people, so we'll talk about that.
That's why you're so tempted.
I was so tempted and actually bought it. 99 cents. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Joypad wireless game controller out this week, $1.99. This supposedly, through Wi-Fi, turns your iPhone into a joypad to be used with Mac games. That seemed ridiculous to me, but hey, there it is. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you have... Just use your keyboard. I don't know. I don't get that. Anyway, it basically just creates a little Crosshairs D-pad style controller and, A, B buttons, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you do that either, because to take... Well... why are you on a flat screen controller? I don't know.
Yeah, and you can't look at it because you're looking at the screen, and so you're going to miss, and there's no tactile way to say that your thumb's on the right place, or it just, there's so many things wrong with it. The only thing right with it that I can think of, and maybe this is their whole motivation, but this makes a really cool tech demo. Like, this seems like a neat idea, but that's it. Not very usable for very long. Also out this week, the follow-up to Zenonia, is Zenonia 2. This is a very traditional Zelda-like 2D dungeon crawler, very traditional Japanese RPG, action RPG, I should say. And this is the sequel to it, doing really well on the store. Big debut for this sequel. I have the first game. I never played it. Like, I bought it for like $6.99 or whatever, and it's just sitting there looking at me going, dude, why aren't you playing me? And now there's a sequel, and I'm less motivated even now to play the first one. So we'll see. $5 is what that'll set you back. And lastly, I found something called Super Shopper, $1.99. Helps you shop, do home stock management, like kind of an insurance type thing where you want to, you know, evaluate everything you have at home and that kind of stuff. Just want to make sure I threw something in there that wasn't a game or game related. But those are all out this week, all very interesting. Any of those interest you, Eric? Would you play or use any of that?
Nothing really. The only thing I'm just curious on your review of Hottie Hookups. I'm really interested on how that thing is.
You're basically just waiting for that.
I just want to know how girly it is.
Well, you're going to be happy to know. It is very, very girly.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let's do our stupid app of the week.
Here's your stupid app of the week. Derp.
I haven't played that in a while. Figured it was time. Stupid app of the week this week. I touch wood. Now, before you get too excited about what that is.
I touch wood
is free. Normally $1.99. On sale for a limited time only. Got this from Mark Wilson. Thank you for the email that told us about this very stupid app. Its tagline, literally, their whole description is this long. Are you superstitious? Touch different types of trees. That's it.
And that's it?
Yeah. I added the you freak on the end there. this is honestly it. I guess there's a bunch of superstitions out there. And I tried to do a little research on it before I wanted to fall asleep and poke my eyes out. But apparently there are a bunch of people that believe that if you touch certain kinds of trees, they'll protect you from diseases or horrible experiences, or you're more likely to get that job you've been trying to get, or the person you want to meet this weekend is going to be there for you to meet if you go and touch like a birchwood tree the right way or something. So
really,
it's less of a stupid app and more of a stupid thing in general. Because apparently, see, this is what makes it worse. Fine, if you're way into that whole tree thing and you're touching trees all day and that's making you happy, I guess I can't complain that much, and I can't say too much to you because, hey, whatever cranks your boat, it's fine. But when you've got a phone version of it, there's no tree to touch. It's a picture of a tree. You literally have a picture of a tree, and you touch it. You touch your screen.
You're actually touching glass, really. That's all you're touching.
Yeah. And glass doesn't even come from trees. So I'm just saying, this isn't this kind of stuff, dude. I mean, it's like having a crystal on your phone and that's somehow giving you insight in the world or whatever. Just
stop. Like, you know, having a salt shaker on your iPhone to throw it over your left shoulder or whatever.
Yeah, it's just dumb. Don't do it. It's like those people that hang crystals from the back of their rear view mirror and the sun hits it constantly. So you're behind them just kind of going, ah, because you can't. It's like flashing in your face. I hate those. And they say that they're giving them good luck. I've never had a wreck ever since I have one of those. Or you're about to have one freaking now from the rear end. Anyway, stupid app of the week, I touch wood. Free, give it a try. Good luck to all of you. For me, I'd rather get a fortune cookie because at least I get to eat something. Normally, this is a part of the show where we would play a segment from France from Patrick.
We got nothing. I like nothing. His email, though.
His email was great.
It's like, I don't have anything. But hey, your listeners should try Words with Friends.
Right. So on behalf of Patrick, we've done this on the show already. We've reviewed this game, which Patrick apparently missed. We would like to recommend Words with Friends. Get the free version.
We already reviewed it.
Yeah. Right. We'll do it again. We'll recommend it again.
I have a big announcement, though, about Word with Friends.
What?
I am retiring from Words with Friends.
Too many?
I have like 34 turns. I'm like looking at my phone right now. I have 34 Words with Friends.
Yeah, your brain can't do it.
So it's no, not, this it, is but this is what I'm saying. I'm going to finish the games I am right now. I'm just not going to accept any more new games.
Okay, that's so no one call Eric a quitter.
Call me a quitter.
Yeah,
he just won't finish the games.
Yeah, he won't be a new beginner.
I'm playing with you right now. Yeah. But I'm just like I can't. 34 turns of Scrabble per day. It's a lot.
Dude, it's not healthy.
All I'm saying is I'm getting really good at Scrabble, though.
Okay. Yeah, you're amazing at Scrabble. I'll give you that anyway. I thought you were good before this, but I'm just saying that's too much. I can't do it. I can barely do like 3 games at once.
Yeah, so.
You forget what words you're doing.
No offense, fans. I love you and all that kind of stuff, but I just can't do 40 turns per day.
Well, don't worry. We'll spend all our time with them on Depict and
Depict.
Hey,
I was playing with Depict with you, and I was doing some great stuff, and you were rating me 1 stars. What the crap?
Just because I was giving you crap.
I was like, really? He doesn't know what that is?
I was giving you crap in public. Look, I've played a whole bunch with App Slappy fans. By the way, to all of you, you guys are so much fun to play with. That game is a trillion times better, probably, than it would be without you. So. And that's a great game even on its own.
Bad because I'm in games with like people, and then I get invites to other games. And I'm like,
I know you feel guilty because you can't jump out. Like, I'll get invited while I'm playing.
Yeah, I know.
And I can't just leave everybody. But the people I have played with, and you know who you are, you guys are awesome. That was totally fun. I can't wait to keep doing that. That's just a blast. This is one of my favorite new things to do on the phone, is play that game. Oh, and the developer contacted us through Twitter, and really, they loved our review, but also took some of our suggestions to heart, like with the rapid fire mode and all that other stuff. They seem really, really interested in supporting that game and its community, which you guys are now officially a part of. So thank you, all of you.
And App Slappy, we took down the servers.
There's something, yeah. I think we had some impact that day. But I mean, it's been really robust. I haven't had any problems. It's easy to get into games. As soon as I get in, some of you are out there going, come on, let's play. And we just get in. And it's like just a five-man party.
I'm trying to like accept everyone, and I keep getting invites, so I can't finish the accepting a friend's process.
Well, part of that, we're going to talk about that a little bit later too, but that one uses OpenFaint. OpenFaint's got some issues with that.
I like some of the stuff in OpenFaint has, but
OpenFaint's got great stuff, just like Plus does, but both of them have weird missing things, like just weird omissions. And I know they're both works in progress, and they're the two biggest, they're the two heavyweights on the App Store as far as a unified communication and friending system on the phone. And so I'm really grateful for what they're doing, especially with these last, you know, these two games we've been playing so much of. They're so dependent on that as its underpinning architecture that we'd be screwed without it. But just loving that game. I just can't say enough about it. I know I already gave it 5 stars. I'd give it more if I could, because I really like it. So anyway, just a reiteration, if you want to play with Eric and I, you can find us on the OpenFaint network. My name on there is GERP.
And mine is
GERP, just so people know. GERP.
GERP.
Yeah. And yours is
Hawkito.
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 His tagline is "God is a dork." Anyway, just love him. Can't say enough about him. Moving on to our update corner. Update corner.
Already?
Yeah, dude, it's time.
Oh, we don't have an intro for that yet, do we?
Well, that was it right then, live on hard drive. I did it.
Wow.
Come on, you're impressed.
I am impressed.
All right, dude, what do you got this week? Because I know you're a big fan of To-Do.
Oh, dude, To-Do is just getting better and better.
Mm. So what do you do now?
So look, not only can you add pictures to your task, you now can attach audio memos to them.
So tell me about that's cool, but tell me about the Twitter integration. Why would I want to Twitter my like to-do stuff?
Wait, let me ask you. Oh, why? Like, if you get something done and you want to tell everybody how awesome you are because you got it done.
Is that why?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
So, you know, they have that. Everything has Twitter integration these days. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah. No, that and Facebook, they're everywhere.
It's just like, let your friends know what game you're playing, what score you have, and it's when kinda, you go to the bathroom.
There's a little overkill in that world, I believe. But I'm not going to complain too much. I think it's okay. It's fine. So they're doing Twitter integration, alarms, backup data via browser or email. Tell me about that. What's that do?
So if you want to back up all your to-do lists and stuff like that, you could either do it through like a browser, like the web browser.
Yeah.
Or through an email, believe it or not.
Wow, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's actually kind of cool.
And you can sync with your To-Doodle-Do account.
You can't say that with a straight face, dude.
I know.
To-Doodle-Do.
To-Doodle-Do.
The first task application I used on the iPhone.
Yes.
Ever.
And also, it has text expander support.
Texas expander support?
Text expander support.
Because that state's not big enough. We need to you said text.
Text expander. What is it? It's a system where you use like abbreviations for words and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This will go through and expand them.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool, huh? Audio memos, pictures, recurring tasks, something that Things doesn't do.
You like that, eh?
Dude, why are you not coming over to do?
Because you haven't convinced me yet. None of this new stuff matters to me in my task management.
Really?
Twitter. Hey, everybody. Recurring tasks, you don't
have to do stuff over and over again.
I vacuumed my car. Well, no, I have recurring tasks and things right now.
Though that does that it supports it now?
I'm going to say yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Crap. I'll have to look. Now that you mention it, maybe it's not doing that very well. But it's not like it's hard to like recur it. Oh, yeah. Things does it on the desktop. That's what I'm thinking of, but not on the mobile.
Not mobile.
Yeah. Dude, you have a thing with things.
No, it's just after I saw the interface of To-Do, the Mac application is like $50.
39, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. There's your update for the week. Also, what else? There's a game, isn't there, in your little update corner?
Doodle Jump, man. You haven't been playing Doodle Jump lately? They got tons of things going on.
Doodle Jump. Those guys are crazy.
They got like new space themes and they have a jungle one.
It's about time on the space theme. I'm not going to lie to you. That seems like a long overdue theme.
So these guys are crazy to keep updating it.
Don't you think like there should have been a space theme like 2 years ago? What the crap, Doodle Jump?
I'm
not going to complain.
Why? I don't know. Is it a no-brainer to you?
I'm not going to complain. They have taken one of the simplest games ever thought of, and they support it like they're worshiping it. It's amazing support. Like, I just think this is, folks, if you're developing a game, honestly, look at what Doodle Jump does and realize that this is how your 99-cent game will make you tons of money, and that is to treat it with nothing but love and care and constantly, you know, give fans more and more for what they spent. And that translates to one of the highest grossing games in the history of the App Store. And it's a stupid, dumb game. I mean, it's a fun game. Don't get me wrong. But there's nothing like incredibly, you know, amazing about it.
It's a simple concept.
Yeah, it's a totally simple concept. But more importantly than that simple concept is how these guys decided to approach this. I think it's great. It's the perfect example of what people should do.
It's good design. Hey, I hate to back the truck up. Thing still doesn't support push?
Beep.
Really?
Beep.
Really?
Beep. Still not, no.
My case is making my case for me.
It still doesn't support push, but...
Push is like huge.
We Rule certainly does.
Goodness. I know. I had to turn it off.
It's overkill.
I had to turn off the thing because like I'd be sleeping and my phone would like light up like every
3 in the morning. So and so has bought some wood from your thing. Go and do it.
Your order's ready. So and so wants you to come play We Rule.
Your onions have gone to crap because they only last like 5 seconds after they're freaking made. Oh, I love that game too. Dang it. What are you now? Level 15, 16?
16.
Dude, what are you spending? Can I just throw out a quick complaint about We Rule, which I have been completely addicted and obsessed with.
There's still a bug in it that kind of...
Well, that thing bugs me a little bit. That's actually gotten a little better. But my biggest complaint...
You know what? Okay, go ahead.
If you go buy some Mojo, whatever version of Mojo you bought is no longer available to you. So I bought 99-cent Mojo. It gives you like 5, right? It's gone now. That option's not available for me to purchase again.
Really?
Yeah, so go look for your $10 one that you bought. You can't get it again. You have to go buy the $29 one or one of the lower ones or one of the really high ones. It's like they're treating it as if there's a limited supply and you're buying the only bottles left on the shelf, and when they're gone, they're gone.
That's kind of weird.
It's really weird.
Because they're actually... make more money because, like, the more money you spend, the more Mojo you get, right? So if you're buying them in 99-cent increments,
right?
They'd make a killing off of you.
Oh my gosh, dude! I'd be spending 99 cents constantly, but I'm not doing it now because all they're giving me is like the next option is $5. No, I'm not doing that. I mean, I realize I probably should, and it would save me money, but I've gone twice now to see, can I just get another 5? That's all I really need to get me by. And it's not there. I can't get it. I mean, it's there, but you can't use it. You can't buy it or click it. It's like, well, you've already bought this once. Time to buy the, you know, time to spend $30 on a stupid game. Anyway, kind of weird. Hey, you're in. I can hear it. All right.
My peppers are done.
What? That's good, Eric. I'm glad your peppers are done. Now come to my town and buy some crap, for heaven's sakes.
No, I can buy the $10 one. I'm looking at it right now.
It won't let me buy the 99. Maybe it's just that one.
They got rid of. I never buy the 99 cents one, and it's gone off the store.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, that's
I don't even see the $4.99 one. Oh, there's the $4.99's on the next page.
But 99's not there.
No, 99's gone.
Well, see? What'd I tell you? I was wrong.
I never purchased that one.
Right. Yeah. I was wrong about why it's gone. But yes. Apparently it's gone, and I don't know why it's gone. So there you have it.
Reviews. Levy.
Reviews. That's right. It's time for reviews. Let's do them. I have a number of them. You might surmise that they are games, at least 2/3 of my three. I will tear through these quickly so you're not bored too much with my philandering comments about video games. First one up is Doodle Cart. Doodle Cart, 99 cents. I mentioned it last week, told you I'd review it today. I am making good on my word. I am reviewing Doodle Cart. Doodle Cart is a lot like the other kind of doodle games, like Doodle Bowl or Doodle Bowling, similar art style and feel. Doodle Cart is basically a top-down, looks like it was drawn with pencils and crayon, Mario Kart. And it sticks very closely to this method of play. It feels very much like Mario Kart, all the way down to like using your momentum around corners to what's the word? Not glide. What's the word I'm looking for? Drift. So you can drift. And you pick up power-ups, and there are things like missiles and homing missiles and dropping a hole in the paper so the guy behind you falls through the hole and all this kind of stuff. So it's totally got that inspiration. It's got its own kind of really cool look with this whole, you know, sketchy thing. It looks like some kid drew it in his graph paper in the middle of math. And I've always really liked this kind of stuff. And I really like the way the game plays. It has amazing handling for a game like this. Like, they've really gone far to make it feel drifty and, you know, give you a lot of incentive to figure out how to do those corners in a way that's very satisfying and very fun. My only complaint, this is just a tiny complaint, there's lots of levels, lots of variation, lots of track types, different difficulty levels, different cars. I mean, it's a full package. My only complaint is it's hard as crap. And I don't mean getting the hang of the controls and stuff. I mean the AI is kicking my trash. And they're really, really good. To the point that I feel like it's just a little off balance in the favor of the AI. That being said, outside of that, a really solid 99-cent app and a great time killer. I like it quite a bit. I just wish I wasn't getting murdered by this AI so bad. And if you miss, you know, you lose a race, you're done. Got to go back and do that race again.
Yeah, if you hit a protractor, you're done for.
Oh, the protractors, dude. I mean, I can live with the protractors because they basically cause a full stop. Like, if you hit the edge of a protractor, no matter what angle, you're just like, burp, and you're, you know, you got to recover. And those are often around turns and corners and stuff. That's fine. I can deal with that if the other computer drivers weren't so perfect at getting around them. They're just too good. So it hurts it a little bit in my mind. It takes it from...
Well, it's pretty much you can't make any mistakes whatsoever. I noticed.
Yeah. There's no... Yeah. You can't screw up. So it for me, it takes it from like a four, a possible four out of five, and puts it more like a three and a half maybe. But it's a wonderful start, and I'm sure with a patch they could address some of that stuff. So I, you know, on the whole, I think it's a reliable and cool game, and it's doing well. It's in the kind of the what's hot category and climbing the charts, and good for them because I think it deserves it. I just think it's very possible I'm the worst player ever, and that's fine. I'll admit that if that's true, but it doesn't seem that way. You know, I feel like I'm not progressing the way I should be. And that can be very subtle in a game and kind of hard to nail. So, I don't know. Like I said, with the patch, maybe they got it. But either way, good game. Check it out. Next up for me is the 99-cent Hottie Hookups. This was what we talked about earlier. This comes from the people who gave us Sally Spa, which was a huge hit and a major hit with Eric and I in the early days of this show and with a lot of listeners. A lot of them still say they're playing it. I loved Sally Spa, despite the embarrassment of, you know, such an admission can give you. hottie hookups is a weird follow-up. It's still a time management game, but it's much, you know, where Sally Spa was like very complex. It was like, all right, you got to put these people in these steam rooms, and then while you're doing that, these other guys need to have rocks put on their back the right way and have the right massage done, and these other guys got to be moved over to the hot tub, and while that's happening, you got four people piled up at the cash register, and you got to get their money before they get mad and leave, or they don't tip you enough, or whatever, whatever. And it got more complicated, and there were upgrades all the time. And it was just about as perfect of a time management genre game you could get. Hottie Hookups is such a different approach for them that at first it's very jarring. You're essentially given a big dance floor, like a disco dance floor. And the goal is to get couples together. So when the game starts, and it has a very nice presentation, it looks great. When the game starts, like, you'll see a little dude boogieing in the corner, kind of coming in on screen, kind of almost like flight control style. Like a little icon will appear first that's where he's coming from, and then he'll appear. And then somewhere else on the screen, a girl will come in, and she'll, you know, they're either in a green dress, red dress, blue dress, guys in a blue suit, green suit, whatever. The goal is you want to try to match them up by color if you can, but you don't necessarily have to. But you click on the dude and you draw a path to the girl. And she'll get all big when you do it, and that means they've made a connection, and they'll make their way to each other across the floor, and they'll create a kind of a dance connection. And when they do that, a little circle underneath them starts to change color until it turns into a heart. When that happens, you've got to drag them down to these taxi cabs for the hookup part.
Whoa, risque there.
A little risque, a little bit, I guess. I mean, it's all very implied, but...
get a room.
Maybe they're just driving off to see a movie, for all I know. Now, you might think that sounds dumb on its own. Well, the way that they make this challenging is on different levels, or as you go through the game, nerds come on the dance floor and try to dance with these people. So, like, nerd dudes and nerd girls, and they're great little cartoony-looking stuff that just kind of, like, dancing really stupid, looking like Elaine Bennis, just, you know, dancing all stupid looking up next to a guy. And it drives the guy crazy to the point that he starts kind of losing his desire to be out there. And that's all represented by colors and by his little meter thing. And if he gets too irritated, he'll just leave the dance floor. And you want to keep them away from couples, too, because that kind of sours that relationship by having those, you know, those goobers dancing around. And you have different kinds of goobers. Like, you have this one guy who looks like Spock, that he'll come out on the dance floor, stop where he is, and if he's anywhere near any of your stuff, he'll beam them out of there with him. And that's bad.
Wait a minute. So how do you take care of the nerds?
You flip them out. You literally take your finger and flick them off screen. So, like, flicking bugs off your arm, kind of. So, like, the little guy, he dancing near one of the couple, you just take your finger and go fling, and he'll go flying off into the oblivion. And you have to keep doing it because they just keep coming and keep coming. And part of the points are how many people you flicked off while they came on screen. You also have this one really big fat girl that comes on, and you have to tilt the phone. As soon as you see her, you got to tilt the phone pretty drastically in the opposite direction, or the so that they'll roll. She turns into a ball and rolls out of the dance floor. And if she stays too long, people really don't like her. As levels get higher and higher, the couples get more picky and more testy, kind of like they do in Sally Spa. You know, some are less patient or whatever. So they do a lot of that, and they add new enemies to have to deal with. And that's basically the game. I will admit, I was really disappointed for the first probably three levels. I just thought, this is the Sally Spa people. I expected more from them, I guess, at first. But after a while, and after seeing kind of some of these layers of complexity they add to it by these new you know, enemies and the kind of things you get to do to deal with those enemies, really started to grow on me. I'm prepared now to say this is no Sally Spa, but it's not bad. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. I think for 99 cents, it's worth it. I think they priced it right. I think Sally Spa was like $4.99 when I bought it. And that felt about right for that game. And I think that that's a better game and worth $5. 99 cents is definitely not too much to pay for Hottie Hookups. It's a little embarrassing that I'm playing this.
The concept is kind of, I'm kind of amused by the whole, like, the nerds on the dance floor. And
yeah.
And what you have to do. And, like, you can't flick the fat girl. You have to actually tilt your phone to get her off.
Yeah, the only other complaint, or it's not really, I guess it is a complaint, that they do a lot of sort of, if you lose a round, it'll say, you got pwned by a noob, or, you know, a lot of stupid, like, leet speak, internet talk that I think is just so over the top that it feels fake. Like, it feels like, oh, look at us talking like people on the internet.
We're being current.
Yeah, you noob. So that kind of stuff I could do without, but that doesn't really hurt the gameplay. It's fun. I mean, for 99 cents, totally worth it. So it's a thumbs up, but I just don't know. If this game was launched at $5, I would feel ripped a little bit. Because it's just not as deep as its predecessor.
Have you finished it? How many levels are there?
Really close. I don't have my phone here. I couldn't tell you. Pretty close, though. I'm way, way into it. And I'll finish it out. I'm totally planning on it. And it gets really hectic and crazy. And I don't mind the tilt mechanic that you have to use here and there. That stuff's okay. Usually that kind of stuff bugs me, but it's not bad here. So anyway, you should check it out, especially if you're into brats and like stupid teenage crap and going to the mall. And then lastly, this week for me is the Dig app. Mentioned that last week, came out from dig.com. You mentioned you're not much of a Dig user. I'm a occasional Dig user. And I was interested to see what they do here. I always like what they did on the web for the Safari version of their site. So I thought, well, maybe they'll do something cool here. And the reviews have been really positive. But I also knew that there are a lot of Dig fanatics out there that would just fill the app store with praise and not really give me any kind of idea whether this thing was actually good or not. So I had to try it for myself. I know it's free. Anybody can try it. And I recommend you do just to kind of get a feel for it. But I'm horribly disappointed. Like, it has the potential to be a great app for anyone who uses Dig. The voting system, voting stuff up and down and adding your digs and stuff, that's all there, and that's great. That feels fine. But one of the reasons you go to Dig, if you go there at all, isn't just so you can vote, you know, stuff and dig it and get numbers higher or whatever and leave comments. That's not the point of Dig for me. The point for me is finding interesting articles that I wouldn't find otherwise. And this is where it breaks down. You click on an article. And every page you load, it loads in its own kind of enclosed Safari launch, like a lot of things do.
Yep.
But it is the laggiest, freezing upiest thing I've ever used. Like, it's just broken. And it's those things where, tell me this doesn't drive you nuts in any app, where you're presented with something you can scroll with your finger, but it's not moving. And you're doing it, and you're like, and just about when you're ready to just freaking throw your phone against the wall, suddenly it'll scroll. You're like, oh, okay, good. Then you go back to scroll some more, it freezes again. Like, it's letting the loading of the stuff stop it from being functional. And I hate that.
It's like getting sticky.
Yeah, getting sticky is a great way to put it. So I'm sure that can be refined and fixed. I don't know why it was launched in this state, because that feels so beta to me. So I can't really rate it very high. I'm going to have to give it like a star and a half. Really disappointed. Because what's the point? The whole point is to get the articles, to go to the sites, to see what the crap the story is.
To get the information. That's right. What you want.
And that's all I really want. The other stuff could be the greatest interface experience of all time in the history of Earth. But if you can't give me the sites and the articles, then what's the, it means nothing to me without that. So just a little disappointed. So anyway, there you go. Kind of a range today of different stuff. Eric, tell us about On This Day, Melodokia, and ToonPad Pro.
So I got this recommendation from Christine Chan. I saw a little tweet about it, and I was like, oh, I'll check this little app.
Christine who?
Christine Chan, I follow her on. She does a lot of Mac stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, I saw she had a little tweet about this application. I thought I'd check it out. It's pretty much one of those what happened on this date type of applications.
Mm.
But the thing is, it has so much information. It's blowing my mind. Like, it goes back to like the Roman Empire up to current times.
Okay.
So like under like events, there's like 50 events that it lists that happened on this day. It's like after, like, you know, today on March 31st, because today's Wednesday, right? Right now for me, right. So right. Not for you.
Right. It is? Oh, yeah, huh? It is. It is. Yeah, never mind.
Is it still for you?
No, I don't know what it is for me.
All right, I'll go back to March 30th for you.
Okay.
Like they have an event like 240 BC.
Yeah.
First recorded Perihelion's passage of Halley's Comet.
Okay.
Dude, how interesting is that?
Oh, they saw entirely Halley's- interesting. I guess.
I let me see your face expression. I wait for the lag. Yeah, no. Yeah. Let's see. Does he like it? Or is he being sarcastic?
There, you like that? Shocking.
Anyway, so you know, like, so I think it's kind of cool, but it also has birthdays. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't like to know when their birthday, who was born on their birthday?
That's right. You know who was born on mine?
Let me go to your birthday. I'll tell you who was born on your day.
David Hasselhoff. Me and David Hasselhoff share a birthday, yo.
When's your birthday?
I just wish we shared the same Black Trans Am.
Is it November?
My birthday is in July. Thank you. And
wow,
it's,
you're way older than me.
I'm not way. I'm like 6 months older.
July what?
17th.
All right, hold on. 17.
So look that up. You got some David Hasselhoff action. I'm pretty sure I'm related to one of the Sutherlands, like Donald, I think. Not related, sorry. Have the same birthday as?
You have the same birthday of Ishmael the First, the Shah of Persia.
Oh, well, good, because he and I are tight.
I got to go to more recent.
Yeah. That's great. I kind of want this.
Yeah, it's free. But the thing is, it's beautiful.
Great find.
You got to make sure the one that you want is the one has spaces on this day, because there's a couple that have no spaces, which costs 99 cents, and the interface is not as nice.
Okay.
Let me see who was born. Oh, my gosh. They have, like, so many birthdays. Like, they have over 100 birthdays.
On this day. This is, you know, I think this is what a lot of AppSlappy users listen to the show for, is weird little finds like this.
You're 1952, David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that's right. Eating a hamburger off the floor, all drunk. That's awesome. On this day. By the way, I think I'm the only person on the internet that didn't know about that video, and it was like 2007. I'd never heard of it. And I keep my ear pretty close to the bone, and I did not hear about Hasselhoff drunk eating a burger off the floor. That was just like total news to me.
What? Shut up.
What?
You're on here.
Shut up. Am I?
Scott Johnson, cartoonist.
What? No. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I think it actually pulls from Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if it's pulling from Wikipedia, I'm in there. So that's not that cool. I mean, that's just to be expected.
Scott, 1969, American cartoonist.
That's great. Rock on. American cartoonist.
You're like, I'm getting this for sure. Let me download
this thing right now. Wow, that's great.
That kind of blew my mind a little bit. I was like,
that's funny, dude. All right, good enough.
So it also has deaths, too. So it has events, birthdays, and deaths, but tons of information. Awesome, well-designed interface. It's free. It's like I was on the train the other day. I was like, oh, let me catch up on my history.
Yeah.
I hope it's really free. Educational. It's really nice.
Yeah, I would hope it'd be free. Okay, cool. Tell me, what would you give it?
I'm giving it, it's like, for what it does, I'd give it like 4.5
stars.
Jeez
Louise.
It's really done well, and it's like free.
Okay. I'm going to check it out. Tell us about Melodocia or Melodocia. How do you say that?
Well first I'm going to do Tonepad.
Oh, all right.
Tonepad Pro. Tonepad, which is a free version. So,
yeah.
These two applications, they're based on this instrument called a Tenori. Or tone matrix. It's basically those musical devices that have a whole bunch of kind of like, it's like a grid, and you press the different lights, and as they light up, that does a musical note. Have you seen these?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Image and Heap uses them all the time.
Mm-hmm. I saw that Korean girl that's all over the YouTube right now that does this. She uses that as well.
So anyway, this one, Tonepad, and I got the pro version. I'll tell you why I got the pro version. It's pretty much one of these things, but you can create ringtones with this one.
Can you do Funky Cold Medina on it?
Probably not.
For the tone pad?
This is, oh my gosh.
Tone Loke pad?
Oh, man.
Funky Cold Medina.
Okay, stop.
All right. stopped.
So this is what I'm going to do now. This is what I'm going to do, right? Are you? And
oh, you're going to do this live? I love these.
Going to do it live. We're but doing also, it live. This, right. This ringtone I'm going to create live.
Yeah.
It's going to be the ringtone that's going to be posted for the AppSloppy listeners. Okay, you ready for this?
Go. Live on hard drive. Here we go. I keep saying that tonight.
It better be good because this is going to be a ringtone that millions will hear.
All right. Go for it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
There you go, folks. That's the ringtone for today.
Did you know Imogen Heap follows me on Twitter?
She follows me, too.
Oh.
You know who else follows me on Twitter?
Who?
Crystal Method.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Do they just follow anybody? They got like 50,000 people they follow?
Nope. They actually...
You kidding me? Like Scott Jordan and who's the other guy?
Yeah, what's his? Yeah,
Method. Dude, I love the Crystal Method.
So right. Anyway,
yeah, that's fancy. What you got there? So
I'm gonna email it. Hold on 1 second. Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna email it? I had let you email. That's nice.
Well, does it mean it emails the ringtone and then I'll post this on the site?
Oh, dude, I want that. How much is that app?
The pro version is 99 cents.
Worth it?
It's cool for 99 cents. I mean, if you want to make custom ringtones.
How about the $12 HD version? Will you pay for that?
No.
Okay. So checking.
All right.
Just double checking. That off. All right. So what are you going to give that?
I give this like, you know, if you, it's good for making ringtones and that's pretty much it. I mean, you can do a little fling around with a little tunage. And stuff like that if you want to get into that thing. But how about I'd do like a 3.5. But now...
Will the regular non-pro version still make ringtones?
I don't think it does. And I think that's the big difference.
Mm, okay.
So anyway, I got interested. I saw that and I said, well, let me check out the number one Tenori thing, whatever they're called on the App Store. And there's one called Melodica.
Mm.
Melodica. How about that? Put the accent in the wrong place.
Right. I've been doing that too all night.
So anyway, the cool thing about this one is it uses different tones and sounds and scales. So first when it like starts off, you put your mood and then it does its little thing. You can change the tempo of it. And it has really nice, and it's like actually really good quality audio and sound. And this is what I'm going to do because I've been kind of in a musical lurch. So what I want to do, because you could actually share your little patterns with people.
What's a musical lurch?
Like I'm kind of like hitting a brick wall with music.
Oh, you're having like writer's block kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
You know, that's like, you know, whatever cranks your boat.
Right.
So anyway, what you can do is you can share your creations with other users with this thing, and how you do that is you actually send a number, you email a number out, and I input the number, and it accesses that same pattern type of thing.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a contest. Is I'm going to have people create their own. Send it in to me, and then I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to create a whole song around it.
Oh, okay, cool. Dude, and that's a great idea.
And then we'll play it on the next show.
Y'all, you hear that, people? That's awesome.
So send me your code thing, and I'll pick the best one, and I'll do a full-on song.
AppSlappy.
To be played on an AppSlappy episode.
AppSlappy@gmail.com is the address to send those to. So, dude, that's great. Will this app, by the way, will this app let you do the export to... ringtone thing or no?
No.
Okay. Well, F them.
So those are the two kind of melody things. And the cool thing about these applications, you really don't have to be a musician to use them because it's just playing around with the patterns and you turn the lights on and off by just pressing them. And it's a very, very cool, fun little thing to play with. If you're, you don't have to be musical either. You can create some pretty cool sounding stuff.
Very, very nice. All right, folks.
So both are 99 cents. They have both free versions that are not as well, doesn't have all the features of them. Like I think the export and the sharing of the I can't
talk. The exporting and the whatnot.
The I want to say Melodica.
Melodica.
Melodica is nope. 99 cents, but I think the free version doesn't have like the sharing of the codes. And
you hear that, people? You want to get your hands on Melodica.
Melodica.
Brilliant.
So anyway, there's a couple of apps and no games for me this week. I know. Crazy.
That's fine. No games. That's what you're here for, is to make sure we're balanced and fair in our coverage of the App Store. All right, let's move on to emails. We have a couple of emails and then some calls. The emails start with one from somebody who doesn't give us his name. He says, "Hey guys, I have a quick question. My wife and I both have iPhones and iPods. I sync my stuff to my computer and my wife syncs to our laptop. Needless to say, both hard drives are getting pretty full. I am looking to buy an external hard drive and hoping to store both iTunes libraries on it. My question is if I will be able to do that, and if so, how? My thinking is to move both iTunes folders to the external drive, rename them, go into iTunes options, and have it point to those respective folders. If you guys have any suggestions or answers, I would really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Derp." I've never even thought about doing this, so I'm going to throw this to Eric. Eric, do you think this is even possible? How is this done?
Well, he's leaving out a little bit of the information as far as, like, is him and his wife using the same iTunes account?
It sounds like probably not. Otherwise, they'd be on the same computer, wouldn't they? I mean,
Well, I guess you can only have one account on one computer, right?
Right.
No, not really, because you could be signed in to the iTunes Store with the same account, right?
You can be signed in with the same account, and multiple computers can play your stuff. But having the phones connected to two different computers, I don't think works that way.
Like, well, because it's hooked up to an account, though, right?
I don't know. If I was going to make a bet, we're missing this piece of crucial information. If I was going to bet, let's say they don't. Let's say they're two totally different accounts.
Well, this is like a no-brainer, because you can have. I don't know if that's the thing. Then it doesn't sound like they're actually sharing applications then. Because if they're separate accounts, right, they have their own applications.
Oh, right.
True?
Yeah. If they're having two different accounts, they're using their own applications. If they're using the same account for those applications, I guess technically they could still be downloading them through the phone directly or through the iPod directly.
Yeah, but if they're doing any syncing, that's where you're going to get into some issues.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So I think that's what the missing key point is, that if they have the same account. But the thing is, it's a no-brainer. If it's a different account, you could have all the apps on one drive, but it'd be kind of like the whole like separate account user thing. So your wife would sign into her login, you would sign into your login, but you could actually be working off the same drive.
Right. Right.
So, because then they would store each, you know, your music and your applications in your account folders.
I just wasn't aware that iTunes let you do this. Like, there's nothing in iTunes preferences that tells me it can go to some.
Oh no, I have
source.
My iTunes library off on an external drive, and I told it where to look for my iTunes library.
So where it says iTunes media folder location, that will let you go to an external source.
Yeah, because I got to the point when my old computer, I was running out of space because I had just so much music that I had to put it off on a 500 gig drive.
So when you did that, you moved everything over and then pointed it there, right?
I pretty much what I did is I took my iTunes folder, copied over to my 500 gig drive.
Yeah.
Wiped everything out of just start a new like iTunes thing.
Yeah.
And then I told them, this is where you're going to find all the music and movies and stuff. And it just like, and everything was there.
Now, how are you backing that up? Just curious. Or are you backing that up?
That's the problem. Like, I have so much music and so much. It's like backing up is like so much information. It's just like I'd have to get another 500 gig drive to back that stuff up.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and honestly, I back up maybe, I think a lot of the stuff I have is just ripped off CD. So if I lose it, I just have to re-rip it type of thing. But music I purchased, I try to back up once in a while, just to purchase stuff. Yeah. So
interesting. Okay. Well,
is the dumb thing about the whole, because you can go into iTunes and back up stuff, mm-hmm. but you can't choose what you want to back up.
Right. Right. So.
I mean, it does. It does ask you, like, when you buy stuff, do you want to back this up? And so,
okay. Very nice. Thank you for that email. Hopefully that helps you a little bit, but it sounds like you're on the right track. Hello, Scott and Eric. I have a question that doesn't involve apps at all. This comes to us from Matt in Oregon. Last night I was getting out of my car and dropped my iPhone onto the curb, thus cracking my glass screen. I was wondering if you have heard of any good screen replacement services that don't cost $200 that Apple charges you. Also, I wasn't sure if this replacement would void my Apple Care warranty. Thank you so much for your time. I have listened to every show so far. Matt from Oregon. Found a site that seems reputable, or we did, $69.99, but I have this to say before we talk about that source. I thought Apple was cheaper than $200. Do I have that wrong?
I think it's if it's under warranty is the key here.
Okay.
Because it sounds like his is no longer under warranty, and then once you're past that, you're paying.
Well, he says he wasn't sure if the replacement would void his Apple Care warranty. So if he still has an Apple Care that's still active, you'll pay substantially less than $200.
Yeah, but the thing is, does the Apple Care cover like accidental drop?
I think so. Well, maybe not. No. You're right. It doesn't cover accidental dropping, but I thought it was cheaper even if you did. Like it doesn't cover it, but it's less expensive if you already have the warranty. I could be dead wrong on that. But I also just thought they had a cheaper replacement plan, even if you're out of warranty. And it's $200 seems wrong to me. But this site, this iFixYourEye, something about that seems familiar. I'm having deja vu about that name. But anyway, $69.99 to replace a glass screen with a 90-day warranty is pretty dang good, but that's about the price I thought Apple was doing it for. I knew that I'd heard, like, for example, if you drop a Nexus 1, that's like $200, $250 bucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if he's got that right on $200, but...
this site looks pretty, looks pretty good.
Yeah, I've never heard of this, but check around online, look for reviews of it. There's always somebody who's had an experience with a company like that. You can find out if that's truly... good enough for what you want to do. Hello, Scott and Eric. I love the podcast. Really funny, nice and nerdy, and well, just useful. I am an avid listener. Well, we're an avid talker. Matt in the UK goes on to say, I downloaded Wii Rule. Great game and blows the socks off of Farmville. I managed to neighbor with Scott, but couldn't find Eric. Did you say his username was Jaquito?
I just had to put this in there.
J O Q U I T O. Joaquito.
Joaquito. What's funny thing is like at the end of every show I spell my name, don't I?
Yeah, usually. H A W K I T O is how you want to spell it.
Yeah, so that's
maybe he couldn't understand your English accent or your American accent.
Maybe so.
I was throwing him off.
Joaquito?
Well, that's freaking hot in my office. Oh. Thank you, or Matt.
As Brian Dunaway calls me, Hakatu.
Hakatu. He does?
Remember on Forecast?
Yeah, I love that. I didn't know he did that, though, on Forecast. I don't remember that.
You were there.
I was kind of out of it. All right, so thank you so much. We got some calls. Let's tear right through these boogers.
Hello, Scott and Eric at AppSlappy. I'm just walking around in the Norwegian suburbs. And I'm just wondering, what are your going to be favorite apps for the iPad? What are you looking forward to when the AppSlappy episode releases and the AppSlap and the iPad, stops. Thank you.
First of all,
you know what it cracks me up about that call?
What?
Is an email after it.
Oh, I didn't see it. What did he say?
He said disregard that previous email. Don't listen to it. Because he was drunk.
Oh, I love it, though. I'm looking forward to the app slap, the Apple app slap. That's going to be brilliant. I think it's a valid question, though. What are you looking forward to on the iPad? I will say for me, it is... I'm looking forward to just scaling up this Depict
games,
game, dude.
God just cares about games.
Do you feel like playing Depict on that big of a screen is going to give us an undue advantage? Because that's a lot more real estate to draw.
It depends on how they handle the pixelization, because right now it's pretty pixelized. They're drawing on Depict.
Well, if they just enlarge that, I still feel like I'm going to have a better sweep of things. You know, it's like just a bigger surface.
Well, even they enlarge it, your blocks are going to be pretty big.
Yeah, they'll still be big, no question. We're not going to get like a finer line, I don't think, unless they make another version. But
the drawing surface will be bigger, so you probably could draw a little bit better on it, I'd imagine. Yeah.
But really, games that aren't like some of the ones we're playing now is what I'm most excited about. I'm excited about board games, head-to-head games, you know, I'm excited to play. To be honest, I'm excited to play freaking Wii Rule on this game or on this thing. I can't wait to have that huge space. I mean, Wii Wool. There's a lot of stuff like that, but mostly games for me. Are you looking forward to anything besides games?
I was thinking about it. I think having some kind of music interface.
Yeah.
Like faders or something like that to interact with my music apps would be cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, I saw a demo of kind of like a design app where you actually lay things out, like layouts and like wireframe, like the type goes here and the picture goes here. It was like bare bones, but it was a kind of a design tool that I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, for quick, like you could be in a meeting and you just need to quickly get some layouts done and stuff.
It's just like a mock-up type of thing.
Sure.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Anything, yeah, like a kind of design app I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Looking forward to something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
I'm looking forward to Pages, to be honest. I'm buying that. That'll be $10 well spent in my book. You know, a really full-featured word processing layout thing,
yeah.
You know, that'll just be great, and they'll shoot PDFs right out of that thing and email them. Brilliant.
Very cool. Yep. You're going to have one and I'm not.
That's right, sucker. Chew on this, sucker.
Yeah, but I'll be out in the wild with it, emailing and uploading and downloading things.
True that.
I saw an article about...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What'd you say?
Will the iPad make man purses popular?
Maybe. Are you getting the cover thing? I plan on it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely going to get a cover for it.
Yeah, like that, the one that they may not have enough of at launch.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about that, but I definitely want to get that kind of portfolio looking cover. It looks pretty cool.
Hey, AppSlapIt brothers. This is Makai calling from Newport Beach. Just curious to see your thoughts on, first of all, the iPad and how you think it'll be used in business. Is it being adopted by businesses? Do businesses have plans to use this type of technology to help? And also wanted to know your opinion on Apple in general. Obviously, they've performed fantastically in the home market. Do you think that they're going to try to make a push in the small business, home business environment to try to bring in more market share in a business environment? I have a small business and I love the Apple products and would love them to be even more aggressive in a business setting, so that we, you know, as small businesses, we wouldn't have to kind of reach across the aisle and deal with, you know, any type of window-based products.
Yes, I do think that is where they will continue to put a lot of effort. But I would argue that Apple is one of its greatest markets and its greatest success lines has been in home or small business. I know I can name 20 businesses near me that are all Mac, that are real full-on, you know, brick-and-mortar, walk-inside-and-do-stuff businesses. And everybody I know who runs a successful business at home or some sort of home business, which is the same thing, they are all Macs as well. I think Apple does things that work really well in that environment. But to his larger question, and the one that matters more to our listeners, which is, you know, very PC and Mac oriented, is whether or not we think the iPad will be a force in any kind of sort of business type stuff. Eric, do you think that's... what do you think the likelihood is the iPad will be strong in business, either home or otherwise?
Well, it's interesting is, like, you know how I go to these like post-production houses, editing houses, mixing houses and stuff like that. And they all have laptops for the clients to play around, you know, to check email or sure. Do whatever. And every place that I'm going to are going to get the iPad to replace the laptops.
They're going to spread. So they'll have these courtesy devices for whoever comes in to wait for their whatever they're waiting for, right?
So, yeah, whatever you're working on, because.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea.
So
for companies like that, you know, where they have that kind of thing going on, that makes so much sense. So much cheaper, too.
You know? And, also my company is getting a whole bunch of them, too, just because of the whole new ad market thing that's going to be coming up for these things. So.
Yeah, did you watch that Wired video? What'd you think of that? I know it wasn't on an iPad, but you get the idea.
It was awesome. I loved it. You know, that's the same thing I talked about when I was on Forecast. But I hate the title of the video. What the? Why would you say iPad demo blows people away out South by Southwest? Because why would you say that?
That's because
there wasn't even an iPad there.
They were trying to get people. They mentioned it in the keynote, and they were trying to get people excited because the iPad is what everyone's talking about.
A, it was running on a Dell. B, it was running on the Adobe Air operating system.
Yeah.
Which neither, I don't know if the, I doubt that, you know, if Apple's not going to support Flash, I doubt it's going to support, you know.
I don't know. Air is a different animal. They probably could.
It's a whole operating system, though.
It kind of is.
It runs on top of your operating
system.
But
it's also runtime stuff that you can do outside
of that. And
then
I am so confused. And I saw an article about how the iPad's going to support Flash, but only in the ad space type of thing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, so, I don't know about all that. That's possible.
Like, all this... rumors and
rumors and scuttlebutt. Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. But what they showed in terms of concept got me stoked.
Yeah, it's the same video I was you know, talking about when I was
the same one. I didn't know that was the same one you were talking about.
No, I mean, they had one that wasn't a keynote, but it's actually like interviews within. It was like a presentation video done, and they went through the whole, all that same stuff that you saw.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is, you're going to see this thing get used in a lot of different ways. And I think you'll see it happen a lot in very progressive companies that are doing a lot of creative work and production work and that sort of stuff. Where you won't see it is down at the meatpacking plant, where Bill's got to enter his numbers in for today's, you know, steak count. That's not going to show up there. That'll still be a big, fat CRT 17-inch monitor and an old 486 that's still putting those numbers in the label system or whatever.
Hey there, Scott. Hey, Eric. This is Eric from Holland. I've got a question for you. I use my calendar / agenda function a lot on the iPhone, and I also sync it with my MacBook. But the main problem is I have to open apps every time, like apps like Things or anything, to see what's upcoming or what my to-do list actually is. I know on Windows-based phones, when you pull the phone out of standby or out of your lock screen, it shows you a part of your calendar or a part of your to-do list. Is there a way to have that done on the iPhone as well? Thanks. Love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
No, I think he's talking about more of that type of the home screen that the Windows Mobile and the like, where you can see your calendar and the weather and the time all in one place.
Oh, if that's what he means, yeah. And you're different.
You have to either jailbreak it, because there's a home screen where you can actually have all that kind of stuff, or just wait for the 4.0 operating system coming out in the summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors to the effect that you're going to get all that kind of widgety stuff with the new OS, and I think it's actually kind of likely. I think the iPad's going to have that right out of the gate, or more of that. And you may have to wait a little bit, but. If that's what you mean, yes. I thought he was talking about push notification, but I guess not.
No, he was saying he has to always quit out an application to go see what's on his to-do list.
Oh, I got it. Misheard it. That's it. Calls are over.
Yay. I mean, no, not yay. But
not yay. Boo. I mean,
We did.
We did it. Boo. All right. Thank you, everybody who left those. By the way, you can send those to appslappy@gmail.com. Those are voice memos coming from people's iPhones. And send MP3s if you want to, or you can send written stuff. As you know, we always do that as well. So please continue to send that stuff in. In closing, quick mention of our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. Use the codes App1, App2, and App3. They save you money on domains, hosting, renewals, and lots more at GoDaddy.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AppSlappyShow. And go to the website. That's appslappy.com. Show notes for this episode and all of our archives can be found there. Links to our forums. Lots of comments happening in the blog. A good time to be had by all over there. It's iPad week, folks. We're totally excited about that. I can't wait till it gets here and we can talk again. Eric, anything on our way out that you'd like to say to the fine audience and people, both live and later?
Oh, yeah. Do the people like the live show? The 25 people like the live show?
Yeah, well, we didn't really announce it, but we'd probably make it a bigger deal so that people are aware of a time if we decide to keep doing this. But, if you're interested in the show being recorded live and you being a part of it, send us the feedback that you would like that. Even if you didn't hear it tonight, but that's something you'd like to see, if we get enough people saying, yeah, awesome for live, then we'll do it. because it's easy. I don't mind picking my nose on camera. I really don't. I'm okay with it. All right. Well, then that's going to do it for me, for Eric, and for everyone who helps make this show possible. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next week for show number 41. Until then, take care.
Later.
Thank you for listening to App Slappy. For more great iPhone, iPod, and App Store coverage and archives of this show, visit appslappy.com.
Welcome to Cheap Dad's Cheap Game of the Week. This week, we're checking out a game called Dungeons and Dice. This game really took me back. It's almost a direct translation of an old board game that I used to play when I was a teenager called Talisman. The game starts out simple enough. You get to pick one of four classes, Mage, Paladin, Cleric, and Warrior. From there, you're taken to a simple game board where you move around it, fight monsters, pick up treasure, sleep at inns, and recruit allies. All of this is accomplished by a simple rolling of the dice. Now, I thought about trying to explain in detail about the way the game works with this dice mechanic, but I decided it'd be better if I gave you a real-world example. Okay, sweetie, you have to clean your room. So, I'm rolling the chore die. Ah, okay, a 6. That means you're cleaning your room for 6 hours.
Oh no, a 6? Well, I'm gonna roll the whining die and see if I can get some time off of that. Yes, a 5. In your face. Now I only have to clean my room for 1 hour.
Okay, well, that didn't go quite as well as I wanted. Alright, bud, how's that salad going? You eating it all up?
Not very good. This green stuff tastes bad. How many more bites do I have to take?
Well, let's find out. Okay, a 4. That means you have to take 4 more bites of that green stuff.
Let's roll a dice, hippie.
A 5? Man, you suck!
Ha ha!
Ugh. Alright, this doesn't have to be a total loss. 4, 5, or 6, I get to sit here and play WoW and not take out the trash. Oh, dang it! Everything is controlled by the roll of the die. Everything. Not only that, you actually have to shake the iPhone or iPod Touch to get the dice to roll. It's an awesome novelty at first, but once you've fought about your 50th monster, you get really tired of shaking your iPod. And the really frustrating thing about all of that is that it's really fun. I can't seem to stop playing this game. Yes, it's almost all completely random. And yes, I'm going to get carpal tunnel from shaking my iPhone. But if that's all true, why is it that I want to go to stage 2.2 so badly? Alright, I'm going to have to say that this game may not be for everyone, but I personally like it a lot. And for 99 cents, really, what have you got to lose? This is Cheap Dad, signing off.
Hey Scott, if you need a new voice coach, you can count on me. Thanks, derp!
This is the angry chairman from Austria! And I have a message for a geizigen Vater! Or... like you call him, Cheap Dad. Vater, you are very funny. Respect. Weitermachen.
What? Shut up.
What?
You're on here.
Shut up, am I?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.